Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Chief Eric Wilde. Hello, Chief.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Chief Wilde is police chief for the Jefferson City Police Department. We brought him in today. We wanted to talk about the use of fentanyl in the community. So let's talk first, Chief, just about what is fentanyl?
Fentanyl is very much like, well, it's an opioid. It's a synthetic opioid, much like the Oxycontins, oxycodone, heroin, morphine. It's derived from the poppy plant, and it is used for painkiller, relaxation, that sort of thing, to deal with severe and chronic pain.
Yeah. Help us understand. I mean, all illegal drugs, which it is an illegal drug, has the potential of harming or killing those who ingest them. Why is fentanyl so insidious?
It's because it's so much stronger than the other drugs, and it is also because of how it's being used. What we see is that fentanyl is much cheaper to produce than, say, cocaine or methamphetamine. So a lot of the illicit drug dealers that are out there are mixing fentanyl with cocaine and with methamphetamine, with heroin, to reduce the costs and increase their profits. So the fact that it is so much stronger than those drugs as they stand alone and that they're mixing them together with the drugs makes it particularly dangerous.
Okay. Is fentanyl something that is, for lack of a better word, imported into the area? Or is it like meth that it can be basically mixed and grown here?
The fentanyl, and I'm not a chemist, okay, but you know, it's very complex because there are several precursors that you can use to make it. Most of those precursors are established in China, and a lot of the illicit drug route goes from China with those precursors into labs with the cartels into Mexico. After it is developed and manufactured, it's shipped into the United States, just like cocaine, just like methamphetamine, just like heroin. So the fact that it's synthetically produced from chemicals means that, and I've seen in the news recently where the United States government has limited the shipping and production of some of those chemicals in China, they can simply switch the recipe just a little bit to get the same results.
Yeah.
I read an article on the DEA website a few days ago that said, you know, trying to step out those chemicals is like playing whack-a-mole because all they have to do is change them ever so slightly to achieve the same effect. So it's difficult, but yeah, the majority of the, I mean, there is a medical use for fentanyl itself, prescribed appropriately by a doctor. It can be used to curb pain, but what we're dealing with is the illicit use, the illegal use. The majority of that comes out of Mexico, and the majority of what we see here in Jefferson City is fentanyl that's actually stamped into pills that look like a fake oxycodone pill or a fake Xanax pill or a fake Adderall pill. So while people out there that might be purchasing an Oxycontin or an oxycodone and they think they're getting a prescription drug to curb their pain illicitly, they're actually getting a dose of fentanyl that could kill them with just one try.
Yeah. And obviously, when you say purchase one of these pills, they're not doing it from the pharmacy. They're doing it from a dealer or from a friend or whomever.
Yeah. So. And that's kind of the big challenge with the opioid epidemic is that people that have had major surgeries deal with chronic pain get a prescription from their doctor. And when that prescription runs out, it's very difficult to let that go because the pain persists and the addiction is there. So when the doctor decides that your prescription has run up, you know, people get very sick when they come off of the medication. So they have to, and a lot of times will, go out onto the black market to look for those sort of drugs and achieve that illicitly.
So how can you track the prevalence of something like fentanyl in the community?
We're tracking it based upon seizures. As we make arrests, we do have fentanyl test strips. So if we even do get a powder that we suspect is maybe cocaine or powdered heroin, if it has fentanyl in it, we're able to detect that. So we track it that way, but also, you know, through the partnerships with our medical providers. Obviously, if somebody survives an overdose, they're taken to emergency medical services. We'll transport them to the hospitals where the care comes in. But we see those overdoses occur kind of in spikes and in clumps. So as we see that coming in, we know we've got another batch of fentanyl that comes into town, and that's when we really start beating the streets to see, you know, where it's coming from.
So how prevalent is fentanyl use in our community?
I wouldn't say it's at a epidemic level yet. And like I said, we've seen it come in waves. Mm-hmm. We know that it's here. We've seen the pills. We've seen the powdered form. It seems to come in waves. And we always see that whenever we see the overdoses go up and when they start to tail off. So we're in a bit of a slow period right now. We were successful earlier this spring with making some arrests on what we thought were some of the bigger narcotics dealers, the ones that were dealing fentanyl in our community. And that seems to have put a little bit of a dent in it for right now. But I'm not naive enough to think that that has stopped the flow of fentanyl into our town. There will be another person step up. There will be more coming in. And we're kind of anxiously waiting, I guess, and nervously waiting to see when that actually occurs.
In the story, and we'll put it in our show notes, you had made mention also of this cyclical effect of it. That seemed like a strange concept there. Is that something that has happened with other types of drugs, or is this just something new to fentanyl?
This cycle with fentanyl is a much quicker turnaround than some of the ones we've seen in the past. Now, in my history here with the Jefferson City Police Department, we had the 90s. This town was a very crack cocaine oriented town.
Right.
And that's when a lot of the very aggressive enforcement and prosecution towards crack cocaine happened. And we started to see that turn over. Well, just about the same time, the late 90s was really the start of the opioid epidemic in the United States. I think right now we're just starting to see the third wave of that opioid epidemic with fentanyl. So we went from crack cocaine as the primary drug in our community to heroin. Heroin became the primary drug because that was the start of the opioid epidemic. People were not able to get their prescription pills, so the next closest thing they could get was heroin. Those spikes up and down took years to produce, you know.
Yeah.
At the same time that crack cocaine here, you remember back in the 90s and early 2000s, there were a lot of meth labs, you know, meth lab seizures around central Missouri and all of Missouri. Missouri was a big state for meth lab seizures. That was big. What we see now is that there are hardly any meth labs, but it's all meth that is imported from Mexico. So we still see methamphetamine. The thing with the fentanyl cycles is how quickly that is turning over is, I think it's because of the availability of dealers in our community maybe to get their fingers into the right supplier. I think it's going to evolve into a more steady flow, but it's all market related. As the demand for fentanyl increases in our community, you'll find more people that want to deal it and take the chance to go out and find it and sell it.
Yeah. What's the approach to try to hinder that, to stop it?
Well, there are several levels. Obviously, the national level, there are a lot of things going on with fentanyl and attempting to stop the flow of the precursor chemicals of Mexico, stop the flow into our country. I don't know how that's working right now, honestly. Not so well, but we just have to take a very aggressive approach through enforcement and prosecution. And I believe the state law has been changed that makes the sale and possession of fentanyl, illicit fentanyl, much more punitive than what it had been in the past to do that, to affect that change. But you know, at the local level, it's about increased training for our officers. You know, what does fentanyl look like? How do you safely handle it? Because I don't think probably 2 years ago anybody would have known what a fentanyl pill look like or how to test for it. So we've got to stay ahead of the learning curve. We've got to stay ahead of the changes that go on with the drug and make sure everyone is educated about how to recognize it. Because let's be honest, on a traffic stop, we could very easily see a pill bottle that had some little blue pills in it that have M30 stamped on them and think that it's oxycodone when it's actually fentanyl. So we've got to stay educated and stay abreast of those changes.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about the national efforts to limit the chemicals that would come in, it kind of brings me back to the meth years where it was kind of an approach that was taken, at least in Missouri, that I was aware of, where whether it was camping fluid and...
Correct. And the Sudafed. You know, we used to be able to buy over-the-counter Sudafed or, you know, off-the-shelf Sudafed. Now it's controlled. So those are the tweaks that need to be made at the state and local levels and then the national levels as well. But like I said, most of the precursor chemicals for fentanyl are actually produced in China. So that's a whole different challenge right there, is to, you know, deal with a foreign country and exact some sort of rules upon them. So I couldn't imagine dealing with that at the national level is tough enough at the local level sometimes to stay ahead of it.
Well, again, I understand education is going to be an important tool for the local police force to do, but it's also, it strikes me that's going to be a tough sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like if I'm an illicit drug user, I'm going to come and say, hey, Chief Wilde, you know, can you check this out to make sure these are okay? How do you try to educate the community that may be skeptical or aren't listening?
I think that our role is to impress upon the community the dangers that exist, and to also educate people that there are resources out there. If you are addicted to opioids, there are places in our community where you can get test strips that can test for fentanyl. We have, you know, community groups that have those. There are places in our community where you can get Narcan for overdoses. You know, really, it's about saving lives. And that, to me, is the most dangerous issue with fentanyl, is how deceptive it is. Because generally speaking, if you want to buy cocaine, you probably know you're getting cocaine. If you want to buy methamphetamine, you probably know you're getting methamphetamine. With fentanyl, you might be thinking that you're buying an Oxycontin pill or an Adderall or a Xanax to curb your needs, your symptoms, because your prescription ran out. And you're getting a fentanyl pill that DEA says 7 out of every 10 doses or 7 out of every 10 pills is potentially fatal. So that's the scary part to me about fentanyl, is how deceptive that drug is and how it ties directly in to the overall threat of the opioid epidemic. Because there are people out there that legitimately have pain, you know, chronic pain,
sure,
that have been prescribed pills in the past, and it's very difficult to come off of them.
So if I'm one of those people, what would you say to me to help me ensure that I'm not ingesting fentanyl?
I would say, number one, work with your doctor. If you're continuing to have the pain, don't doctor shop. We've all seen that. But communicate with your doctor what's going on and try to work the medical route. Number two, you know, I know this is easy to say when you're hooked on opioids, but if it didn't come out of a prescription bottle, don't take it, because there's a high chance, if you're buying this stuff off the street, that it's laced with fentanyl and it could be deadly for you. Number three, utilize those resources that are out there. As you are trying to make yourself better, look for the places that have the fentanyl test strips and get them tested if you have to go the illicit route. And it pains me to say that I'm sitting here promoting an illicit route,
right,
for dealing with pain, but I'm a realist and know that there are people out there doing it. I've seen them. I've had friends that have had the same issues, you know, that were prescribed opioids and then it was gone and they couldn't deal with the pain. So just do everything you can. And really, every time a pill is ingested, I say this to the people that are law abiding, don't ever borrow a pill from someone that you don't know where it came from. I think we've all seen that. Can I borrow an aspirin? Can I get an Oxycontin? You know, don't do it. It's not worth it, because these things could be laced with potentially deadly fentanyl.
So it seems as if efforts to curb the dangers of fentanyl really is going to require community effort. I mean, certainly you guys are the point of the spear, you know, in confronting this. What can, if anything, can the community do to help mitigate its use?
Well, the first thing, I impress this upon the community, it's about family first. You know, families have got to educate their children about the dangers of the opioids, and the not just the illicit, but also the legal opioids, you know, and be real cautious with that. So, and educating, and you know, it's a big responsibility, I think, on the schools to help with that. We have a DARE program that started years ago that we've sort of kind of dialed back on, but it's a different world right now. Back then, we were looking at DARE from the lens of, you know, cigarettes and potentially marijuana, and now we've got the availability of pills out there that just scares me when it comes to high school and college aged kids. You know,
sure,
we hear those stories about college and high school age kids sharing their Adderall pills before a big test to keep that focus to succeed. And that's scary, because if they buy one of those off the street, again, that could be the pill that takes that life. So the community response is that it's open your eyes, open your ears to the threat and spread that word. And then as you see something, as you hear something, if something is going on, to contact us and let us know. We've got a lot of good community resources in place. We're very lucky here in Jefferson City. We've got two great hospitals that assist us with a lot of the effects of fentanyl. We've got the crisis access point here in town that is a great place for us to take people that are having challenges that maybe can't get into the hospital setting. Mm-hmm. We can get them through the door and get them the initial assistance that they need. And we've got a lot of great non-for-profit organizations that are in town that are working to curb this as well. Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, we've got a lot of good things going on here in Jeff City. It's just about focusing. And as we see those trends coming back, it's about reporting it and staying very vigilant to the fact that this is out there.
Yeah. Well, Chief, thanks for joining us today.
Not a problem. Always glad to be here.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.